Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Alive, a message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you're having a prayer request, I pray with you. If you're having a question about the lesson, I do my best when the Lord Jesus answers for you. If you're having comments, ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests, questions, or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So, without further ado, for those of you that are listening, thank God for you at this hour. And if you don't mind, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, for once again another opportunity. You bless us to come together. We thank you, Lord God, that we have a chance to go into the Word of God this day, to know what is the perfect will of God. And Lord God, what you're doing of this work in these last days. So Heavenly Father, we want to praise you and thank you for the many things that you have done and are doing. And we want to glorify you and lift you up. So Lord God, we thank you for all things in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for the revelation knowledge that you're going to provide to your people today who seeks truth. In Jesus' almighty name, thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. And we will give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. It is another blessed day in Christ Jesus. Thanking God for being God. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. This day, I want to deliver the word of the Lord today. For those of you that have been listening, you know that we are the Church of Christ that lies in message, and we are preaching and teaching about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days, that is referred to as the work of restitution and restoration of all things, which the Bible speaks about. We do not neglect the Bible because it contains the Word of God also. And one thing that I want to point out to you guys that's listening is that this work, one of the things about this restoring and restitution of all things that the Lord is working at now is to bring all things back to his original pattern. What original pattern, you ask? The original pattern that he set up for things to go. For those of you that have been listening on the broadcast, I had done some series in the past about how that after Christ first established the church went through a breakdown. The church, his organization, was destroyed. And I went over with you guys the things that contributed to the destruction of the early church, its earthly organization here on this earth. Well, in the restitution and restoration of all things, one of the things that Jesus is working at through his angel messenger, the Elijah, is to restore the church, to bring the church back to the place where he first established it, to bring the church back to the original pattern as a whole, to bring the kingdom of God here on this earth back to the original pattern. Amen. And so today I want to give the word on the title today is having legal, and I stress on the word legal, authority to bring others into the kingdom. Having legal authority, and I stress on the word legal, authority to bring others into the kingdom. First, I want to start off by defining or giving five things that makes up a kingdom. Number one, you got to have a king. Number two, you got to have the people that is under the king. Number three, you got to have laws. Number four, you got to have the officers to carry out the laws. And number five, you got to have the area where this kingdom covers. And according to the word of God, and this is what the Lord also establishing, reestablishing again in these last days concerning the kingdom, is the authority, the legal authority. He's restoring things back to the original pattern, where that one had to be given legal authority to bring others into the kingdom. Now, when we look at the word authority and defining it, like you said, well, Brother Nate, what do you mean by authority, legal authority? Authority here is delegated power, or in other words, the authority is having the right to do, given the right to do legally, okay? I like I told you, I stress on the word legally, to do something. In other words, you have a right, let's say, to do what you want to do. But it doesn't mean that because you got a right to do some or do what you want to do, it doesn't mean that all what you have the right to do is legal. You understand that? And when we go to the highest degree, we're talking about in the eyes of the Lord. Because the word of God tells you what God has legalized for one to do and what he has not legalized. Like, for example, sex. Well, sex by God is legalized in marriage. You're given authority or the right to perform it in marriage. Now, you got the right outside of marriage to do it, but don't mean that it's legal. And now you know that, let's say, for example, in this system, when you do something that's considered illegal, you what? You get punished for it. You suffer consequences. You understand that? Now, I say this to say this as I get ready to go into the word of God, and I'm going to open up from the word of the Lord. And if you got your Bibles, keep your Bibles by your side because we're going to go into the Bible. But I'm opening up with the word of the Lord Jesus Christ that he sent through his angel messenger, okay? Because remember, he has told us through his angel messenger, the purpose of sending the Elijah is to give this word that will cause all Christianity to flow together as one. And by the Lord bringing things or restoring things back to his original pattern, it's about what he set up. See, in Christianity, we are broken up into so many fragments. We're doing, quote, what my church says for us to do. Not so much as what Christ has legally authorized us to do. And when you get into the point where you're saying, I'm going to do what my church believes or what my church says to do, more times than not, you're going to go out of the pattern of the Lord. Now, I know this is something that some of you do not want to hear because you're thinking in your mind, well, Brother Nate, you're saying your church is better than ours because you have a so-called angel coming. That is not what I'm saying. Because number one thing is it is about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the first thing. See, the first thing in dealing with you about this work that I want to get over to you guys is by this is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not running on a crusade trying to recruit you, join my church, join my church, join my church. You don't, in fact, on the broadcast, you guys have not heard us try to promote such agenda. You haven't heard us, bro. We're always promoting this work of the restitution, restoration of all things because that's the main thing, people. See, you got a lot of churches that make mistakes, and in the Church of Christ that lies a message. We haven't made a mistake. Where we have been more, quote, promoting people to get baptized and join the church rather than making sure that their heart is converted to the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever you do such a thing like that, Houston, you're going to have a problem. And that's one of the problems that's going on today, because you got more baptized members who, quote, are not saved than those who are really, quote, born again and saved. So now it is nothing for many of the churches to say the doors of the church are open and give you, quote, open invitation to come and say, join the church, but your heart has not been converted to Jesus Christ. So therefore, you're still totally dominated by the sin nature through the flesh, and therefore, we must understand that when you have that problem, you will not want to fall in line with what the Word of God says. You understand that? Now, I say that having legal authority, because as I get ready to go into the Word of God, you notice that more churches, and this is especially done a lot in the pulpit, have been putting people up in the pulpit, calling themselves speaking or preaching the word, that have no authority. You say, well, Brother Nate, you're judging. No, I'm not judging. I'm giving you the Word of God and truth. Because some of these people are put in the pulpit because, number one, they are simply celebrities. Oh, amen. We have many churches that, and some of you have seen it on TV. Some of you may have seen it in person, where they have had a person that is a celebrity, well-known, a big movie actor, a rich person, and all that. They are put in the pulpit, and that person up there just trying to preach away about Jesus, but no more converted in their heart and no more want to live the life of Christ than anything. And so many of these churches know this, but because of the popularity status of the person they're, quote, putting in the pulpit, they're looking at, hey, this is going to draw more people to the church. So now you've gotten away from it's about Jesus to now it's all about me or it's all about my church. Did you get what I'm saying? Now, I'm going to open up from the Word of the Lord, and this is called the fifth message. And Jesus thus far, and I do stress on thus far, have sent the angelic messenger, the Elijah, with a message 120 times from the year of 1927 to 1994. Is it done? No. The work is not over with, but there's more he's going to send. Thank Jesus. Now, in this fifth message, Jesus, on March the 22nd, 1928, decided to send the Elijah. Now, I've given you the date, so in your private prayer time, you can go before the Lord and say, Jesus, on March the 22nd, 1928, did you send an angel? Did you send an angel with a message for the people? Simple as that. It doesn't have to be no fancy words, no long educated words. It doesn't have to be a long two-hour prayer on the same thing. What it's about, it's the honesty of your heart and wanting to know the truth. That's what it's merely about. Now, in this fifth message, in the very first verse, it says in 1899, and this verse once again came out March the 22nd, 1928. In 1899, the servant of the Lord laid his hands on you and set you apart from among men to represent Christ, and gave you authority, now listen to this, gave you authority to preach the gospel and bring others into his kingdom. The authority has not been taken from you and never will be taken from you unless you deny the Lord your God. Now see, one thing about that takes away that once saved, always saved, but that's another subject. Now, he said that, and he talked to these brethren here, and he said, you were set apart from among men to represent Christ, and gave you authority to preach the gospel and bring others into the kingdom. Now, first of all, for them to be given this authority, this is legal authority. Understand this. Understand this. It's legal authority. See, anybody, quote, can call this just preaching or proclaiming, but doesn't mean that you have the legal right. You get the legal right when you become born again. Because notice that he said not only you, he said you meant was set apart from among men to represent Christ. Well, you can't represent Christ as a sinner. I'm going to say that again. You cannot represent Christ as a sinner. You cannot represent Christ if you're not born again. So your legal authority in bringing others into the kingdom first start with you having to be a believer, a born-again believer, a converted one, heart converted to Jesus Christ to properly represent him. And as I told you before, there are many thrown in the pulpits. Their heart are no more converted, once again, than a bunch of ghosts are living on the moon right now. They're not converted. But because of their status of being popular and even rich, you found out in many of these community of churches, the people that have a lot of money in that community, oh man, they be thrown up in a pulpit and they can preach a mile long. But once again, not saved, doing anything and everything under the sun. Get this, wide in the open, not caring who see it or anything, but yet still on a Sunday, the church will let them get up in the pulpit and now they wow and the preaching and all of that, but have no authority. You know what that means? That means that that's making a mockery out of God. And I want you to understand something. Not caring who you are, not caring how much money you got, your big celebrity status, anything, you're not going to continue to make a mockery out of God without facing the consequences. So reading this verse here in the fifth message shows that you got to have authority to preach the gospel and bring others into the kingdom. You got to have the authority, and that starts by you being a representative of Christ. And understand this, you cannot be a true representative if you're not born again, okay? If you're not born again, hallelujah. And so you got even many churches who are putting people behind the pulpit to preach and teach, doing Sunday school. You got people who are Sunday school leaders and Sunday school superintendents that ain't born again. And the pastor and many people in the church know what this person is doing. They know this person is on crack and is a drunkard and sleeping around with this person and that person. And even what they do the night before they come to service. And this is why many of them, when they come to service, they got the biggest hangover in history. Or their eyes are bloodshot red. They can't stand up there and they can't even speak right. Some of them, be honest with you, they ain't smelling right. And all this stuff from what they did before. And guess what? There's no accountability of them being held for. And yet still, we make them superintendent of the Sunday school. Is that the Lord's original pattern? I say not. I say not. Hallelujah. Glory. I sense the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Having legal authority. You got to have legal authority. Once again, you can do something that imitates what is legalized, but doesn't mean that you have the authority or legal authority to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. It's just like sacrament. Sacrament is an authority of the priesthood. So God has ordained a ministry to give a sacrament. Well, to give of the bread and the wine. Well, get this. People can get up there and just start taking up the bread and wine and handing out to one another. But does that give them the legal right to do it? No, it don't. See, you got, in one sense, you got right to do whatever you want to, but you got to understand you face the consequences of whatever you're going to do, especially if it's not legalized. If it's not legalized. And the bride that Christ is returning back for, she's going to be legal. She's going to operate in legality. She's going to operate in legal authority. She's not going to be up there putting people behind the pulpit that is not converted or saved and doing anything under the sun, get this, with no remorse and no conviction. Amen. She's not going to be doing that. Hallelujah. Glory to the living God. Thank God for the blessed word. Hallelujah. So you got to be given a legal authority to bring others to the kingdom, to preach the word, to bring others into the kingdom. How we help bring others into the kingdom? One of the things is that we got to preach the word. Preach the word. Let's go to the Bible. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Let's go in the Bible here. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We're going to go to verse 12. Now, many of you that have read the Bible, you remember Philip. When the smoke cleared, things were though he was an ordained evangelist. Okay? And he had to go out and preach the gospel. The Bible even tells us that he went to the city of Samaria, and he went to preach Christ unto the people. Okay? Now, by him being an ordained evangelist, that means he was born again. You get that? You got people that's being ordained by many churches that ain't even saved. You understand that? In many of these churches, only thing you have to do is pass 30-something questions. They give you 30-something questions. You answer them right, boom, we give you your, we ordained. Did you get that? You don't find that in Scripture. In Scripture, for one to be ordained, number one, they had to be called of God to that position. Number two, it has to be in the mouth of two or three witnesses. In other words, just because you walk up to me and say, Brother Nate, I am to be in the prophet, need you to ordain me. I'm not just going to ordain you. I'm not going to do that. You can come up to me and say, well, you know, Brother Nate, God's called me to be an evangelist. I'll say, okay, praise the Lord. I need you to ordain me now. I'm not going to do it. I remember some years ago, there was a particular brother in the Lord. I thank God for the brother, but one thing that he did that I did not agree with, we was in a gathering. It was an all-men prayer one time, and I forgot who this other particular brother was, and this brother that did the thing I was saying that did something that I didn't agree with, been in the work longer than me, and he was talking about this other brother that was there, and he said, this brother was to be, I don't know, did he say evangelist or some in the church? And he turns to me and he said, Brother Nate, ordain him. Just like that. And I'm like, you know, just like that. You know, simply because he said it. And like I said, I'm not going to ordain you unless I get the mouth of two or three witnesses that you're called to be there, and God give me the green light, okay, ordained. Now, Philip, being an evangelist, verse 12 tells us, but when they, talking about the people of Samaria, believe Philip, what? He did something, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, okay? They didn't believe him on him preaching something else. About him preaching, Wilt Chamberlain is the best NBA player of all time, or the best running back of all time, Walter Payton. They didn't believe that wasn't going to get them into the kingdom, people. That wasn't going to get them into the kingdom. He didn't preach to them believing that the church I'm in is the best church. That wasn't going to get them into the kingdom. You understand that? He had to preach to them the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. He had to preach things concerning the kingdom. And in order for him to preach things concerning the kingdom, he couldn't go without preaching about the king, which is Christ. He couldn't go without preaching about the people, or telling them about the people who are to be members of this kingdom. Let them know it ain't just anybody. You get that? That these people had to be truly born again, converted into the kingdom. He had to preach to them about the ministry of the kingdom, that God had called men in the ministry and give them certain things, authorize them to do certain things in the kingdom for his glory. He had to preach to them about the laws of the kingdom, that God had laws of the kingdom for men to pass by or to live by, which will be a blessing unto mankind and bless them to hold on to or obtain eternal life. And he had to preach them about the area, the place, okay? But yet still, they had to believe the word of God coming from the mouth of the man of God, who was given legal authority to go to bring them into the kingdom. You get that?
And the legal authority started by him being what? Saved. Truly born again. You understand that? Hallelujah. Glory. Thank God for the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. You got to have legal authority, people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, some people will get offended. Well, we do things right by the book. Okay, well, okay, you say so. But I'm here to tell you, if in Christianity as a whole, if we were all doing things right with the book, then there would be no need of Christ sending the Elijah to restore all things. There would be no need. So that would mean that Christ was doing something in vain. Now, I don't know about you, but I know about me on this instance that I have seen from the word of God and God dealing with me himself that the Lord never does anything in vanity. Never. Never done anything in vanity. Amen. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 9. I'm going to look here in Luke chapter 9. Let's go here. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 9. And I'm going to read to you verses 1 and 2. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, okay? Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at what the word of God has to say here. Then he, which is Christ, called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Now look at verse 2. And he sent them. Remember in Matthew 28, Jesus said, all power, that word power, that means authority, is given unto me in the heaven and earth. And so he said, go ye therefore, which means what? He was transferring authority to the disciples. We hear in verse 2, it said, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God. To preach what? The kingdom of God. And to heal all the and to heal the sick. You see that? Well, if he didn't have no authority, and he sent them, that means they didn't have no authority, right? But see, since he said all authority was given to me in heaven and earth, and he sent them to do something, that means he gave what? Them authority. And who was the them? His disciples. See, you can be a disciple of Christ ordained in the ministry, or you can be a disciple of Christ that's just a born-again believer. You don't have to be ordained in the ministry to be a disciple or a follower or a pupil or a student of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? See, we've been having that little, quote, war in the Christian community too, especially when it deals with the women of God. Well, you know, women can't, you know, and listen, I understand when it comes to the priesthood authority that God had given that to males. I understand that. But let's not use that to treat the women of God like they can't do a thing. Okay? Please, we need to stop it. Okay? No, the scripture shows they haven't, God did not ordain women to the ministry, but he used the women of God in the proclamation of the word and in expounding of the word of God. Women of God, even in the Old Testament, Deborah had a leadership position, okay? Amen. But the authority of the priesthood, yes, was given to the males. Now, authorized them to preach the kingdom of God, to preach the kingdom. And listen, we can't properly preach the kingdom if we got our own agenda of what our, quote, church believe. Did you know that? We can't. We can't preach the kingdom effectively when we're preaching what my church stands at or what my church believes. See, this is what I don't understand about many of us in Christianity. How is it that we think that we're totally together? If any of you, or let me go deeper, because some of you might say, well, we are Christian. How is it that we think that God, our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, is totally satisfied with the status of Christianity? How can we think that? How can we think that? Okay? When we are broken up in fragments, if we were totally in Christianity following the original pattern of God, don't you think we would be one? Remember, Jesus, and I'm going to say this, Jesus made one church. I'm going to say it again. Jesus made one, and the church was named after him. Okay? It's named after him. Amen. It wasn't named after a man, but when it's named after a man, that's who church is, people. Did you know that? When a woman marry a man, take on his last name, that's she belongs to that man. Now, I'm not trying to make women seem like a bag of luggage, but you understand what I'm saying? Because she's taking on his last name, okay? She's taking on his name, okay? If he's a Robinson, she become Miss Robinson. But if another man, Johnson, and she married Mr. Robinson, she don't come Miss Johnson. If she's going to come Miss Johnson, she's saying she belongs to this Mr. Johnson and not Mr. Robinson. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Let's go here. I'm going to tell you why I'm going here when we get there. Acts chapter 18. And I'm going to read verses 24 to verse 26. Acts chapter 18. Verses 24 to verse 26. Acts chapter 18, verse 24 to verse 26. Now, look what the word of God says. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, and an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Now, he was limited in his knowledge that which was greater that was come, Jesus Christ introducing the gospel, he only knew concerning the baptism of John. Verse 26 said, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded or explained unto him the way of God more perfectly or completely. Now, Aquila and Priscilla was the husband and wife team. Now, we know that when God says you're a husband and wife, that means male or female. It was not two males. It wasn't two females. You say, well, Brother Nate, why have you brought me to this scripture? And on this subject, you're talking about having legal authority to bring others into the kingdom. Well, I brought it for a reason. Because the wife, being a woman, took part in expounding or explaining unto this man the way of God more perfectly. And see, the way people get into the kingdom is they got to have the word preached to them or taught to them, but they also next got to accept it and walk in it or exercise it. So this woman, wife, had authority because, see, both of them was believers. So she had authority to help in bringing others into the kingdom. By what? Delivering the word of God. I did not say, listen closely, to some of you men of God now who wants to get hot by what I said and jump the gun, I didn't say she was ordained to the ministry. But here you read, the Bible said, they took who? Apollos unto them. It didn't say the husband took Apollos unto them. It said they. They took him unto them and expounded. Who expounded? They expounded. That husband and wife expounded. Okay? Some men of God just want their wife to just shut up and don't say a word. She can't tell them nothing. Okay? Yeah, really. It has gotten to a point, it's beyond ridiculous. But then on the other side of that, you got some women of God that just have gone overboard. They just, They have been seeking more to set up and establish them themselves completely than following into the flow of God. So you got some of them trying to prove I can do what a man do, even changing their voices to a man. So you got some on the women's side that have went to the extreme, okay? And they have gotten to the point, some of them have started even to belittle their husbands because they say, they thinking, oh, he's trying to show me up because I'm a woman, but I'm going to show him how to do it. And then they gets out of order. Now, I'm giving you both sides, people. Giving you both sides here, okay? Hallelujah. Okay. Let's go to one more scripture in the Bible here. Let's go to, I think this is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 2. And then we're going to go through verses, I think it's going to be 10 to 13. And once again, I'm going to show you why I brought you to this part here. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. Okay? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 through 2. And the word says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God and Sathanas, our brother. Okay? Listen what he said, verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now here's the question I want to ask. He said this epistle was to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Here's my question. Is those ordained in the ministry the only one that makes the church of God? No. Are those who are or only ordained to the ministry are the only ones who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be saints? No. So when he said the church of God, he's talking to what? The men and women, right? Amen? So this episode didn't just go to the those ordained in the ministry, okay, that he was talking to. He was talking to all, from those ordained to the ministry, even down to what? The pews. Okay? Now, go to verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren. Who's the brethren? He told you in verse 2. To the church of God, those that, you know, that Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Okay. Brothers and sisters in the Lord. Okay? Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak what? The same thing. And that there be no division among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. He's telling the people at the church Corinth, okay, see y'all speak the same thing. Speak. What do you do when you're speaking concerning the gospel? You either preaching or teaching. Or you speaking prophetically, okay? You're giving a revelation. That's when everyone was involved. He said that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it have been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you say, I am Paul. This is what the people were saying. I have Apollos, I have Cephas, I have Christ. Verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Do you see that? See, the people, he said, let all speak the same thing. And when you're speaking, you can either be teaching or preaching, okay? I say that to say this, that all is given to deliver the word of God by their mouth to people, okay? To one another and to people to help bring others into the kingdom. You get that? Amen. If there's a soul in the room, people, and you got a man or a woman of God in that room, and that man of God is not prepared to lead it, because do you know there are some men who are in the ministry and been in the ministry, they really don't know how to lead a person fully to Christ. Did you know that? Now, I'm not saying this to be mockery. I'm just letting you know truth. So if that woman of God in that room, I want you men of God to hear this, is more prepared in the Lord in Christ, and that man of God is not prepared, I'm just going to lay down flat to you who God's going to use. He's going to use that woman of God. He's going to use that woman of God. Because you know what God looking at people? He's looking at that soul to be delivered. And he's not going to let that soul just walk away wandering away without the opportunity to come to him through the mouth of one that is ready. Okay? God's not going to squander that opportunity. So if you think God's going to get on that woman of God wrongly, he's not. In fact, he's going to commend her. Well done, my servant. Now, I'm going to tell you what I know. Hallelujah. Okay. I want to read to you these scriptures from the record of Nephi here. Another one of the book of the Lord where he gave his word to people, to those over here on this continent during the prehistoric times. I want to read to you, first off, from 2 Nephi chapter 9, verse 23. Hallelujah. 2 Nephi chapter 9. Verse 23. This is a groundwork scripture here that leads to another scripture I'm going to take you to in the record of Nephi. The word of God said, and he, which is God, commanded all men that they must repent and be baptized in his name, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. Now, here's the question. They got to have faith in the Holy One of Israel, in Christ, okay? Through what? Through the hearing of the word. What is they going to repent to? By the word of God. So they got to hear the word of God, okay, and believe upon it, accept in their heart and believe upon it, and exercise the repentance, okay? Hallelujah. And that has to come by people who are ordained to what? Give that word, who are not just ordained, but those who are legally authorized, which includes people that are ordained. But legally authorized are those that also are born again, okay? Who are the children and servants of God to give that word. You understand what I'm saying? Now, having looked at that, let's go to Mosiah chapter 18. Mosiah chapter 18, and I'm going to read to you verse 18. Mosiah chapter 18, verse 18. Mosiah chapter 18, verse 18. Now look what the word of God says. It said, and it came to pass that Alma, having authority from God, okay, having authority from God. We get authority from God. Not from Allah, not Harry Krishna, not Buddha, from God. Okay? See, this is another thing, too. You see, these churches, they starting to, quote, combine themselves. You know, you got some things that teaching that is called interfaith, just like you got what they call some interfaith marriages. That's marriages between deep people of, quote, different faiths. And sad to say, now you have to watch the Christian community trying to slide into that same thing. Okay? When the Lord told us to marry one that is in the Lord. Okay? So you get up there and man of God and you see a woman who looking good to you and bad in the eyes and she tell you she believe in the fat man to sit on the statue, but she's smiling and, hey, can I fix your food and doing all those other things nice, and you going, I think we'll just fit well together.
what's missing in that pot of stew, my man? I tell you what. Well, the word of God said, marry one in the Lord. Okay? Amen. He said just marry anybody. Or marry someone because, you know, they, quote, treat you good, which we're supposed to treat one another good. But God said, hey, don't be caught on those works like that. Because when you marry them, you thinking everything is going to be hunky-dory. Y'all going to be running and kissing one another and slapping hands and working together. No, you're not. Because if she's of another, quote, faith, if she believe in Buddha, and here you talking about Jesus, y'all going to have a divided house. And just think, what if you have kids? What are you going to teach them? You wants to teach them the way of the Lord, and she wants to teach you how to worship the fat man on the statue. You're going to have a divided house, people. And you see in the word of God, God is not for divided houses. A house divided against itself, the word of God said, cannot stand. Ain't going to stand. Ain't going to happen. So he said, and it came to pass that Alma, having authority from God, ordained priests. Now listen to this. Even one priest to every 50 of their number, neither ordained to preach unto them. What do you have to preach? The word of God. To preach unto them and to teach them concerning the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So if they, listen, Alma got authority from God, so Alma had authority to turn around to ordain priests. So those priests have to be authorized to preach the things of the kingdom. They had to be priests of God. You know, the devil got priests too. You know that, don't you? Even to the day, he got priests. He got priests and priestess. Okay? So we're not saying being a priest. I'm talking about being a priest of God. So you had to be a servant of the Lord to be legalized to preach the things of the kingdom. Okay? You had to be a servant of the Lord. Amen. Now let's look at one more scripture here as we close. Moroni chapter 6. Moroni chapter 6. Okay. Moroni chapter 6. I'll tell you why I'm going here. Moroni chapter 6 verse 9. Moroni chapter 6 verse 9 says, and their meetings were conducted by the church. By the church. After the manner of the workings of the Spirit and by the power of the Holy Ghost. For as the power of the Holy Ghost led them. Now, listen to this closely. The power of the Holy Ghost led them whether to preach or exhort or to pray or to supplicate or to sing, even so it was done. Led them, who? The church. In the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we know that everyone in the church can't ordain people. We know that is given to the male of the church. We know that. Baptism, we know that, okay? But preach means to proclaim. Man or woman of God can preach. Man or woman of God can pray. Because if we're going to take this out of this scripture here and say, well, no, that's for just the men to preach. Then it said to preach or exhort or to pray. So that means if it's just for the men to preach, then it must be just for the men to pray and to exhort. Okay, so what did the women do? Just sit there? Lord help us. Sometimes this kind of mentality we're carrying is awful. It's awful. And some of us, as men of God, we act as though that the women of God, only thing they can do is cook chicken, flip burgers or pancakes, and have babies. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's the mentality that many of us take. You know, they can't do hardly too much of nothing else. Well, I'm going to end it there today. And the bottom line of the message is this. You got to have legal authority to bring others into the kingdom, to preach the word of God, to bring others to his way, you're going to have legal authority. You can't, just because talking about you feel, you got to be converted unto the Lord and begin walking the way of the Lord. You can't just be talking about, I can tell him, you know, you got even sinners sticking their chest now out now. I think I can tell them whatever in the Lord. Why? Because in Christianity, we didn't call ourselves giving it to them. You know, we ain't got the right to give authority to someone who God has not legalized to have that authority. Did you know that? Did you know that? When you're talking about, now you can be a minister that got authority, but you're going to give authority to someone that ain't saved to preach the gospel? Amen of God, let me ask you this question. What if you came across another male? Y'all good friends, good, but he ain't converted. Do you have authority to give to him to baptize people? No. Is God going to honor that? No. Not going to honor that. See, the legal system, God flow through his own words to you. You got to abide by this legal system when you doing unto what others. Did you know that? You can't break that legal system because you talking about, I got the authority. And? What? You got the authority. And? You think you can just, you know, give it to anyone? No. Father, we thank you for the blessed word of God today. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit and power of the Holy Ghost. And we thank you for what you're doing. And dear Lord, we ask today, Lord God, that you would just bless us in your word. Bless us in your word. And we thank you for blessing us on this broadcast and keeping us. And Father, we just want to give you all the glory. Hallelujah. All the honor, all the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Well, thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget at 7 p.m. tonight, have another broadcast. Brother Eddie Lee, look for the advertisement at 7 p.m. So once again, this is Brother Nate with Church Christ Elijah Message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.